I'm Linda Bruno. This is the VoiceOver Gurus podcast, and we have a very special podcast today. I'm extremely excited to introduce a very old friend. We've been old friends for a while, right? Old friends.
20 years.
Wow. It is Alex Anthony. And give me your full title, Alex.
I am one of two public address announcers for the New York Islanders, the New York Jets, and the public address announcer for the New York Mets currently.
Right. So you have a very specialty, you know, aspect, field of voiceover. That's something that isn't easy to get into.
It's not. I mean, I do a lot of voiceovers, but this is live. Live yeah. is live. You get one shot, you make a mistake, you got to say correction or whatever it is. But that's the gist of it. I mean, live
but
events.
But sports, though, in general, just even you're in like a niche of a niche. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like as far as voiceover actors go. So I wanted to have Alex explain to everybody how he got his start, because he is in a very specialty type of field for voiceover, because there's so many different avenues of voiceover that one could pursue. I mean, we all know about commercial work, narration work, promos, and on hold messaging, and but voice of God for live shows. Now, this is a whole other aspect of it, and it happens to be Alex's full-time job. I mean, he does a lot of things outside of it as well, but this is your main bread and butter, is just being a sports a PA announcer, right?
Yes, for sports and also for live events as well. But I started out in radio in late 1993.
Which is where we met.
Mm-hmm. Yes, 92.7 WLIR, WDRE radio, and then went on to KJOY radio, where we met in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
So really getting that experience with radio helped me better my career. It was like a stepping stone for what I'm doing these days. So started out in 1995 doing public address for sports for the New York Islanders.
How did you get that job?
Well, a good friend of mine, Tim, who lives out west right now, got me an audition. So I got in there and tried out for the PA position for the Islanders.
But let me ask you, like, with your friendship, he knew you were a big sports fan, or how did that come about?
Well, I used to imitate other sports announcers and PA announcers at the game.
Very important.
Yeah, it was awesome. So I got in there and tried out. He told me, he said, dude, hey, you got the job.
Oh, my gosh.
October of 95. We got the Flyers coming in. That's our opening night. And here you go. Here's your opportunity.
How did you feel when you got that first job?
Well, before that, I had season tickets with friends in Section 317. And I told them, said, listen, I'm not renewing my tickets this year. And they were upset. What do you mean? You're a big fan. And what's going on with that? I said, well, I'm going to be at every game, just not in the seats. I'm going to be down there in between the penalty boxes announcing all the players and doing all the public address for every hockey game.
Now, I mean, where do you get the confidence, though, to be able to do that? Because it's a big task.
I guess since I was a kid, imitating sports announcers and just doing play-by-play, annoying some of my friends with stickball or baseball, wiffle ball, whatever game we were playing, I was doing some commentating, trying to imitate these play-by-play announcers or even public address announcers, announcing the players' names. And it was so interesting because we have a recording of a tape with my grandfather in the background saying to my dad, I don't think he wants to be a player. I think he wants to be an announcer. And this was 1981.
Wow.
So
wow.
Grandpa, you know, God rest his soul, he's looking down on me now and saying, you know what? I knew he was going to do something like that with broadcasting, announcing, not so much public address at that time, but really had the aspirations to be a play-by-play announcer. But
right.
Public address now, it's so much different doing it live than doing a live broadcast or voiceover.
Right. So now the first job you got was as a PA?
Correct.
Okay. So give us the definition of what a PA does.
A public address announcer informs the audience or the crowd of any events that go on during a live sporting event, announcing the players, if there's a penalty on a certain team, any promo scripts that have to be read, any information that the public needs to know if there's an emergency or anything like that has to come from me, the public address announcer.
Like weather related and...
Yeah, if there are any train delays, any other type of delays that would impede the progress of people leaving the stadium or even arriving to the stadium or ballpark, you have to be knowledgeable about what you're saying and looking at the script. Sometimes you have to change around a couple of words, but you have to make it believable and sellable. And I use the four C's when doing public address and opening up a live microphone, and that is confidence. That's number one.
Ooh.
Correct, clear, and concise.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, because you have to be extremely accurate with the information that you're giving out.
That's right. And like I said, live is live. You don't get a second chance.
And clear. And this is the one field, you know, in your field where we don't want to hear the vocal fry.
you need
to be clear and concise. And also you need to be, I don't know, it needs to be straightforward so you can mm-hmm. give the information. But at the same time, you have to have that personality that also, you know, conveys it with a personality. So you're not sounding like a robot.
Correct. And public address is commonly known in the industry as the voice of God.
Mm.
The voice of God providing information and just alertness to the crowd. You know, alerting mm-hmm. the crowd. Is that a word, alertness? Maybe. I don't know.
Alertness is.
Yes. just giving the crowd, keeping them informed is the gist of the whole thing, really.
So, okay, your first job was doing the public address for the Islanders.
Correct, 1995 through 98.
Okay, and at that point, were you still working in radio too?
Yes, I was. I was at WDRE, WLIR 92.7, and that was in Garden City. And then also worked with KJOY Radio 98.3, where we met. And
this is all on Long Island, by the way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so then after that, you've worked for several teams now, so how has that come about?
I got hired by the New York Mets in 2000 as a graphic creator, actually.
What is that?
Well, I started, not really creator, assistant video director, I should say, dealing with graphics and images that get put on the board. I also was the backup PA announcer 2 years after that.
So now let's go back to this graphics, you know, the video mm-hmm. director. How did you get that job?
Well, I auditioned for the backup public address job, so they really didn't have anything at that time. So they hired me as an assistant video director to deal with all of the photographs and all graphic images of promo boards, still boards that would go out to the ballpark, because I'm pretty organized. I had a good resume that would show, you know, organizational skills. I was really on top of things and just paying attention to detail at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And working with the assistant video director and telling him, all right, we're going to play this next. We're going to put this photo up next. This camera angle over here is coming up next. And that was when I first started with the Mets, really, for 2 years. And then they made me the backup public address announcer. So I started doing some games in the ballpark at Shea Stadium. So in 2002, I did about 5 or 6 games. And in 2003, about 10 games. And then 2004, they hired me full-time public address.
Now, were you filling in for someone who had left as the backup PA, or did they create the job for you, or what? How did that come about?
They asked me to now be the backup, as the backup announcer was either let go or didn't want the job anymore. So they just approached me, and I stepped right in, and it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
And, you know, that's a great example, though, of putting yourself in the environment of where mm-hmm. you want to be, because when the opportunities come, you may be the first person that they think of.
That's
you
right.
know, time and place situation, you know, opportunity, hey, you know. So this is just important for people that are just starting out in this business, especially the loads of sports fans that are out there. I know a lot of people dream of having a job, you know, similar to what you have, which is why I thought it'd be interesting that we hear your story. So, okay, so now you're with the Mets, and are you out of radio at this point?
Yes.
Okay, so now this is full time.
Pretty much, yeah, doing 3 sports teams.
Okay, yeah, so how did that come about, where you wound up doing other sports teams at the same time?
Well, even before I got hired as the full-time Mets public address announcer, I did get hired by the New York Jets in 2002. I was the only PA announcer at that time with the Jets from 02 to 08.
Mm-hmm.
And now currently with the Jets, this will be my 4th season coming in, and I do a public address with another announcer. He does the play-by-play, and I do all the promo reads, take the team out of the tunnel, do the intros, and that really is a different approach to PA in all 3 different sports. You have to deliver your voice and your message at different levels, different decibels, and...
Okay, so like for baseball, it's what?
Baseball is kind of like lower... delivery, you know, not too much enthusiasm and over the top energy as it is in hockey and then football.
Like do a, you know, introduce a player on the field for baseball.
You know, for baseball, it'll be something like, you know, the third baseman, number 5, David Wright.
Okay, so your voice is more in a lower
tone.
Lower register. Okay.
For hockey, for the Islanders, which I'm part-time with right now, I do most of the weekday games, about 27 of the 41 games. I've been on and off with the organization, really, since 1995.
Wow.
So, you know, that's a little bit more of a higher energy, you know, like New York Islanders goal. He's third of the season. Score by number 91, John Tavares, you know.
Okay.
So that's more of a, you know, a little bit higher than baseball. And then football, it's almost in your face, like New York Jets, you know, something like that.
Like grittier.
It's a lot more grittier, in your face, get the crowd going, get them pumped up, and, you know, get them ready to go before kickoff.
It's so interesting. I mean, you've got three completely different sports, and it, even though you're doing the similar job, three different approaches.
Yeah, and some of those sports, all three of them, some of the promotional reads are kind of the same. Deliver it in a nice, friendly manner, you know, conversational, not too over the top, not like you're talking at people like, hey, fans, the yearbook is on sale in section 433. You know, you don't have to do that. You know, get your yearbook in section 433. It's available for $10.95. You know, you don't have to really...
A little more conversational?
Yes.
Approachable?
Right.
To the listener. Okay, interesting. Okay, so now let's take us through your average game day. How do you prep? First off, you've got to have, maybe in the beginning of your career, probably not now, the fear factor that would have to come in, that you're going to be speaking live to so many people. You know, I mean, how do you approach that?
When I first got hired by the Islanders in 95, I wasn't too shy, but they let us speak on the microphone during our auditions. And so I, you know, got a feel for it right away. You know, you can hear yourself in the arena. Now, some sports have a little delay.
Are you hearing like a slapback?
Yeah, some sports venues, I should say, have a little bit of delay. You hear maybe a second delay or a half a second.
That's tough enough to do on its own.
Sure. And that's when I do live events on the field. Say, you know, I'll host events with clients and sponsors when the team is on the road. But you kind of get used to it and you just don't even hear it. You tune it out and you just listen to your own voice. You deliver the message however you want to say.
Now you're wearing headphones. Does that make it easier to...
I'm wearing a headset, but I'm listening to a director in one ear, and then I have an open ear to hear the mix outside the window.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's basically for football and baseball. Hockey is an arena, so there's really no delay. You've got glass all around you, so you have to, you know, just read your script. For me, I put on a smile. I kind of deliver the message in a friendly manner, not too over the top. That is the word here. But really be clear and concise and sell the message. Make it believable. Make fans want to go to the concession stand and get this item or, you know, come to this certain event that we're going to have. So it's really speaking clearly is what's really important.
So, okay, on a game day, on your average Mets, you know, the Mets are playing. How does the day begin for you?
Well, I usually get to the park about 3 hours ahead of time, 3.5 hours, and I prepare my scripts that are given to us from various departments in the ballpark. We follow a run of show. Sometimes we have pregame ceremonies, information about, you know, maybe we have a Lynbrook community night or a high school community night.
So everything's scripted.
Yeah, a lot is scripted. Some are ad-libbed by our in-game hosts that we have. They do the interactive games with the fans in between innings. But for me, I usually deliver the starting lineups, who's singing the anthem, if there's a color guard, and anything baseball-related such that it involves totaling you know, the runs, the hits, the errors, doing the post-game report, doing various announcements about players that got awards, that received awards, anything that our players achieve, the script involves me reading baseball-oriented material.
Now, during the actual play of game, though, I mean, is someone else supplying you with you know, as runs happen, as, you know?
No, I don't have to announce the runs that go up on the board. That's only done in the post-game show. You know, the final score, you know, 5 runs, 6 hits, 1 error, 2 runs, 3 hits, 1 error for the other team. So I have to be right on top of things and pay attention to detail. during the game because I'm announcing every batter coming to the plate. So I'll announce about 70 to 80 batters per game. So if
that's my next question. Mm-hmm. Names. So many of these guys are not from this country.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get the correct pronunciations of these names and then have the pressure of saying it live?
Right. I'm always asked that question. How do you pronounce this guy's name? Well, that's our job, to pronounce names correctly, to pronounce words correctly. So I'll either go to the public relations department of that particular team, or I'll go down to the field and ask the player himself.
Oh, wow.
Introduce myself. I'm Alex, the public address announcer. How do you pronounce your last name? How would you like your name announced over our public address system? And some of the players are grateful for that. It's like, no, nobody comes down and asks me that. So this is great.
So you do something unusual.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, other PA announcers might do the same thing. You know, they're on the field before the game. I rarely go onto the field before games because I pretty much know a lot of the players' pronunciations just by watching the baseball package and hearing other announcers pronounce their players.
Right.
Or I'll go in the announcer's booth for the TV announcing or the radio announcers and ask them, instead of the PR department, how do you pronounce this guy's name? He's a new guy. I haven't gotten the chance to study his name. So that in itself, paying attention to all the batters. Now, sometimes they change players. So we've got to watch in the on-deck circle. If there's another player there that's not in the game, the umpire has to point to him physically. We have to see the umpire point to that player, and once that action is done, the player is then announced, as instructed by Major League Baseball, is announced into the game. And once he's announced into the game, he goes into the batter's box, and sometimes he'll go into the field the next inning. We got to watch if he goes out to the field. So everybody really in the booth is watching
what's happening
in between innings. If there are player exchanges, new pitchers coming in.
I mean, have you had situations that it hasn't worked out? Like somebody's dropped the ball, literally? I get it,
the
ball.
Not really. You know, you miss one or two players here and there. I mean, you can, even with one out in the inning, you know, by the way, I'm not going to say by the way, but entering the game for Milwaukee and playing left field, number 16, or if he had batted already, remaining in the game, playing right field, number 18.
Ah, okay. All right. But you basically have to watch everything as it's coming, as it's happening.
Yeah, pretty much.
And adjust.
And there is also emergency weather copy, emergency copy with other emergencies that might go on, or if there are obstructive fans. Fans run on the field. I've had to make those announcements.
So what do you say?
Several times, you know, please do not disrupt play in any manner. You will be arrested and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Something along those lines, I will say, in the script. But you have to be prepared for that. I've got those scripts in queue, basically, right in
really?
Front of me. Yeah.
And you're waiting.
Just in case that happens, if they interfere with play in any manner.
Okay, so now on more of a personal care subject, before you prepare for a game, is there anything you do for yourself vocally?
Not particularly a lot. I do sing in the car sometimes.
That warms you up?
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. I'll sing songs with at a lower register, you know, just to warm up the vocals a little bit, but not right before I go on. You know, I'll just, you know, just in normal conversation with people, you're working out your vocal cords anyway. But there are certain remedies that I have if I do have a cold or whatever it is. You know, I'll take, tea with lemon and honey, and I'll have that coat the throat, and it just soothes it for about 3-4 hours.
Just enough
to get through the game. There have been times where I've had colds and coughs where in between batters, I have to turn the mic off and just go to the side like that, all right, and then the right fielder, number 15, you know, you go right.
Have you had any vocal cracking or anything live during any of the announcements?
I don't recall any of that.
Wow.
You know, I kind of prepare myself before I turn that mic on. A lot of people like to clear their throat, like, ladies and gentlemen, please direct your attention, or, you know, something to that effect, where you just clear your throat to make sure that you're not going to have voice crack when it's live. And most of the time, you know, it works out for me.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah, it pretty much.
Because I've done some live shows, and there are times when you're like, oh, no, here it comes. And my voice is tightening up, or I screw up a name or something.
Yeah, I don't ever want to have a day where I have the Peter Brady syndrome, like the right fielder. You know, I don't want to do that.
So I'm just in shock all the years that you've been doing it that you've yet to really have a situation like that.
22 years of PA with sports teams beginning in 1995 with the Islanders. So
that's nuts.
It's a lot of fun. Like I said, I have the approach of with the smile. It helps me formulate my words.
Yeah.
And What I really do in script preparation is, in the industry, what they call scoring the script.
Okay, what's that?
Now, people think, yeah, you're scoring a game, you're writing down base hit, you know, walk, or whatever it might be. But scoring the script, and a lot of announcers do this, they mark up the script, underline certain words that they want to emphasize.
Okay.
Or put little dashes in between words where I want to pause, and highlight some words that I really want to hit during that live script read. The font type I use sometimes is Times New Roman sentence case. Sometimes scripts are delivered to you in all caps, and you got to adjust to that, and I'll score that a little differently than the sentence case ones. And it's just easier on the eye. I use like 14 font size or whatever it is.
Right.
And if it's really a one-pager, I like to have it spread out where I have two pages, so I could just flip the page or whatever it is, and I see the words right in front of me. And memorization, believe it or not, does come into play with a lot of these scripts.
Yeah.
Even though you have the script right in front of you, you say, you're going to read it, it's 30 seconds, but when you familiarize yourself with the script, it makes it that much easier to deliver to the crowd.
Oh, wow. Well, that totally makes sense. I mean, that's pretty much how all voice talent should be approaching scripts. It's just a different application of what it's being used for.
That's right.
So no more nerves? Never get nervous about anything? All the live events you do, all the, you know.
You want to say it's second nature now after all these years, but there are times where you get a little nervous. The 2013 All-Star Game was a big event, and there were just a little bit of butterflies there. And when I went down to the field, I actually interviewed about 16 to 17 major leaguers live on a City Vision board that we have. And that was a lot of fun, the experience of being at the All-Star Game. And first of all, working for all these three teams, it's such an honor. It's such a privilege. And I don't take anything for granted. I'm enamored of the fact that I can do this and entertain fans, and I appreciate them appreciating my work. Sometimes people will come up to me and say, dude, you're that guy that announces, hey, you know, this father and son, hey, Joey, you know, this is the guy that announces the players.
Yeah.
This is great. That really makes me feel good, and it makes them feel good. I have a good relationship with a lot of season ticket holders that come to these sporting events, and
I like to show you off at parties.
Yeah.
I go, you know who this is? This is my friend. Go ahead and do it, Alex.
Yeah.
And then you announce a batter, and then people go, oh, whoa.
Yeah,
it's really
do
cool.
What you do.
You have like a dream job.
It is sort of a dream job. And like I said, different levels of delivery in each sport. And there are times where you really have to be somber if there's a read that calls for that. And then, you know, if we do a moment of silence, somebody passes away.
Right.
You know, you're not like, hey, this person just passed away. No, you have to be, you know, ladies and gentlemen, yesterday a tragic event occurred. And, you know, whatever it is, you have to start your script. And then you have to bring up the energy level a little bit and learn to control your energy levels and play to the situation, too. You know, if the Mets are winning a game, Jets are winning a game, Islanders are winning a game. Well, if somebody scores a goal or a touchdown or gets a big hit, I'll announce their name a little bit with a little more energy than
I would
normally.
Give a little something special on it.
Yeah, yeah, just a little something special to the situation. You know, bases are loaded. We're up by one run now. This player is up there, so his name's going to get a little more enthusiastic approach.
I usually teach with the students that I've had so far, you know, the approach of when they do a voiceover to speak to that one person and think of one person. Mm. But with what you do, being the fact that you are speaking to a crowd, are you still thinking of one person that you speak to? Or do you, in your mind, do you feel you're speaking to a bunch of people?
I feel I'm speaking to one person.
So you still think that way?
I do, because when I was in radio, I was taught, put a picture of somebody in front of you and talk to that person. Don't say, hey, everybody, how you doing today? I'm on the radio. Hey, folks, how's it going? Hey, this and all those cliches. Approach it like you're having a conversation with somebody.
So it's the same type of direction.
Yeah, and I've been told by other sports announcers that, hey, we like your delivery. We like your approach. You're not one of those rah-rah announcers in your face, you know, not the NBA type approach. You know, those are different announcers in the National Basketball Association. So, you know, they have those.
Yeah, explain to me what an NBA announcer would be,
well,
what their approach would be.
More over the top, very animated. You know, say if a guy's name is Joe Smith, he scores a basket, you'll hear, you know, basket by number 15, Joe Smith. You know, I won't do that for baseball or football or...
Is that like the soccer one? Like, goal!
Yeah, more for the play-by-play on the radio for the soccer announcers. But, you know, for public address. And another issue with public address is that in between innings for baseball, we're timed. So you have to read this script within the amount of time allotted for the next inning to start.
Oh, right. You don't have flexibility.
No flexibility unless one item gets dropped or, you know, something happens where we have to shuffle things in the run of show. We have something sponsored in the third inning. We have to move it now to the sixth inning. So
wow.
I have to keep that script and keep that in mind that I've got to read this script.
Right.
So I got to save it, can't throw it out. And sometimes we do scoreboard updates, highlights of out-of-town scores, where I'm given a script, a shot sheet, it's called, of how many highlights they're going to show. And I pretty much know a lot of the players, and the people that prepare these scripts are very knowledgeable in the sport of baseball. So I can probably cross out a couple of words and think that, okay, if this is 35 seconds, I'm going to do it in 30 seconds. I'm not really going to say that. I'm going to look at the scoreboard and give the fans what the score is currently.
Hmm.
So that is something that I'll get during all the games, informing people about the out-of-town scoreboard and what's going on around Major League Baseball. Football, we do the same thing, NFL highlights. Hockey, we don't really do that.
Mm.
Hockey is three breaks per period, and you got to fit a lot into those breaks.
Right.
And there are in-game hosts that we have at the Islanders over
there.
Because
these are the TV breaks.
TV breaks, yeah. So, and once in a while, you know, I'll cue the director, I'll tell him 30 seconds left in the break, you know, I'll help them out in that way. This way they can go to their programming and get back to the live action. Because
mm-hmm.
sports are so strict that you can't overstep those boundaries and hold up the game because the team might get fined or something to that matter. So,
oh, gotcha.
Yeah, it's, again, preparing for time, preparing for anything that might happen live in that PA position, you have to be ready at all times, no matter what.
So speaking to people that are just starting out, maybe somebody has a deep passion for sports and is thinking about entering the industry from the angle that you're in, what advice could you give someone to try to get into it?
Well, I'd say practice makes perfect. Yes, it's an old adage, but put the TV on, put a baseball game on, a football game or a hockey game, whatever it is. And if somebody scores a goal, practice, you know, announcing names. Not so much the play-by-play, because PA announcing doesn't have play-by-play like it does with TV.
Two completely different jobs.
Two completely different jobs. Play-by-play on TV and radio, much different than live PA. So you really...
Play-by-play is a whole other animal.
Oh, it is. Yes, it is.
And
yes,
that is an art form in itself.
Mm-hmm, because different play-by-play announcers have their different ways of calling the game. They have their cliches. They have their way of delivering a home run call or a goal that was scored, a touchdown that was scored.
Now, I'm a huge hockey fan. So out of just curiosity's sake, the play-by-play guys that hockey is such a fast sport, you know,
sure.
and the puck is going from one player to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you do it, you know, and for fun, you'll do it for me. But
yeah.
How do you keep it organized? How are you thinking so quickly to know that the puck went from player A to player B and then how they're passing it, how they're, you know, how do you do
that? Well, broadcasters, they usually have, from what I observed, an assistant next to them there. If they'll tell them some information in case they miss it. But then again, the sports broadcaster is very knowledgeable about the team, maybe the team's history, maybe the roster is important to learn on that particular team. And in hockey, they've got set lines. And you can tell by the numbers of the players, you know, who's out there, who's paired on defense.
So Sam Rosen already knows the ins and the outs, everything about the Rangers.
Oh, yeah.
So he's...
Yeah, great announcer. He's going to be a Hall of Famer, definitely. And
yeah.
It's one of those things where you've done it so many times.
Yeah.
Where you've,
it's ingrained.
It's ingrained. You get a routine going. And if there are new players, you know, they'll do a feature on that new player. He'll be featured on the second line here. You know, Jones is going to play with Smith and Catalano now on that new line, you know, so they'll do a feature on that particular aspect of the game. But again, the hockey knowledge, the baseball knowledge, the football knowledge, whatever sport it is, a lot of these announcers fill in with their anecdotes. And some of them are former players that they like because they can tell you. When I was playing, I played over here behind the bag at first base. When I played in the game, you know, I kind of dropped back as a defenseman more so than the guys that are
pinching
in. Yeah,
their personal experience with it. Yeah. Definitely. So, okay, so we know play-by-play is obviously very different from the PA announcing that you do. So, okay, so it's great advice that people, you listen to other announcers and try to emulate them, imitate maybe, and give them your own style. Obviously, you don't want to sound like a copycat, but the jobs in your industry are very limited.
They are.
I mean, so, I mean, is there any way you think someone could try to get a foot in the door somewhere?
Well, in my industry, in the public address field, there are a lot of announcers that have been doing it for so long. Longest tenured, you know, announcer, I think, was Bob Shepard for the Yankees.
Yeah.
You have guys that are in, guys that in Philadelphia, I think, couple of other ballparks that have been there such a long time. This is my 14th year full-time with the Mets, and I was told I'm the longest tenured PA announcer with the Mets now.
Wow.
Which is such an honor.
Amazing.
And it's I look forward to going to these sporting events, and I know I get a positive energy flowing that I, you know, I'm going to deliver a great game today.
Hmm.
You know, whether the team is winning or losing, you have to be professional. You've got to deliver your scripts. You have to make sure you hit everything that's, you know, especially with sponsors, paid sponsors, you got to be able to, you know, do those scripts in time and just deliver a quality product. That's really the whole thing about live PA announcing too, is, you know, reading at a good pace. Sometimes you're asked to read quickly, or if a script is 30 seconds and they say, all right, you've got 20 seconds to do this, well, I've got to make it sound like it was written for 20 seconds.
Right.
In the middle of reading it. So I'll end with a website or a phone number.
Now, in the voiceover industry, as you know, there are trends that come and go.
Sure.
Different ways to read copy, commercial copy, narrations, documentaries, etc. But with PA, it's pretty consistent.
Yes, there is a lot of repetitive copy per game.
But I mean, I'm talking about the style. The style over the years.
Over the years.
Has it changed at all, do you think? Do you think it will change? Do you think, what is the future? What does the future hold, Alex?
I don't know. I think public address announcing is sort of something that is synonymous with, or familiar with the fans, I should say. They want a familiar voice over the years. And I've had people come up to me and say, hey, you're the, you know, the Mets guy, the Jets guy, the Islanders guy. I recognize that voice. And, you know, again, it makes me feel good that they appreciate what I'm doing. And it's really the same approach to all three sports. I don't really alter my voice that much.
Yeah.
So that somebody says, wait a minute, is that Alex today or is that somebody else? And usually it's such a distinction that if I do have to miss a game and there's a crossover between Jets and Mets, you know, I'll never just take off a game for the heck of it. You know, it's a job is a job. You got to do the job right. You have to, you know, be there on time, prepare yourself. Everybody prepares differently. But the whole main thing is that you can notice, and fans will notice, if it's a different announcer filling in for you.
Right.
Whether it's me or 13 other PA announcers. So.
And people with, you know, sports fans have such a love.
Mm-hmm.
And especially for their team, and then they associate, like me with Sam Rosen and the Rangers. Mm-hmm. You know, if he and Micheletti are not announcing, I feel like something's missing. You know, so you're that same way with the Mets. I can understand how they wouldn't want it to be changed.
Yeah, and such an honor and a privilege to be in there. The job is very detail-oriented. It's very tedious. You really have to pay attention every minute that you're there. You
Literally.
Have to be on your game every time and be prepared to announce whatever you're directed to announce.
Wow. Well, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for explaining all of this and telling us your story. It's fascinating stuff.
It is. And you've got to feel good every day, even if you're sick and you're doing things outside that may, you know, you think may damage your voice or whatever. But you really have to care for your livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are times, you know, I could easily say, oh, I'm sick 3 days. I can't do the job today. No, there have been times where I have been sick, had a cold, and you stay on the horse there. You keep it going.
So final question. You still feel all the excitement when you head to the arena or stadium?
I do. And the excitement, the exciting part about it is whenever I announce those players' names and the team is doing well or they're not doing well, whatever it is, knowing that I've just announced a name and hearing a crowd roar because of that.
Mm.
That
wow.
sends chills down my spine every time I do it. And it's so exciting because you're in control of the microphone. You are the voice of God. You're the public address voice.
Wow. What an amazing feeling. Well, congratulations on all your time
you know, in this wonderful career. And hopefully it's helped out some people that maybe had no idea, you know, what it is that you do or how you got to where you are. And it's admirable. So thank you, my good friend, Alex Anthony.
Thanks for having me, Linda.
Joining us on the VoiceOver Gurus podcast. And that'll do it for this edition. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you next time.